This is God's precious word. Here's the thrust of what he's going to say in total. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them, or partners with them. For ye were sometimes darkness. Listen to this, saints. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of these things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Amen. May God speak to his people and bless his word. Let me pray. Father, again, today we look to you. You're great, worthy of all praise. These songs, every song in the earth today needs to be sung to you. We want to worship you in singing and in prayer and now in the scriptures, that we would just behold great things in your living word. Help us, Lord. Lord, give us the proper attention. Let it come with faith. Let it speak to us with power, with conviction, with grace and help to move on, to press on. Oh, blessed Holy Spirit, guide us now. Exalt your glory. Exalt the Lamb of God. Let us, Lord, run hard after thee. In Jesus' name, amen. I think now that more than ever in my life these days, I hear this statement, quote, we are living in a dark time. I don't ever remember as repetitive as I'm hearing this statement. I literally hear it every week. I hear it from family members. I hear it from colleagues at work. I hear it in our times with the elders when we meet and share and pray. I hear it from various ones of you, this phrase, we are living in a dark time. Yes, saints, these are very dark days. We all see this. You'd have to literally run and hide somewhere to not see it. Dark days in many ways. And what I mean by this is that evil abounds everywhere, right? Sin is flaunted. I mean, it's paraded around in our country and around the world. And wickedness, living in wickedness, is the norm. As a secular writer boldly said years ago, which I heard and I never forgot it, he said, we live in a shame-free society. No reason to be ashamed of anything because sin is exalted and participated in breath by the culture around us. So that poses a question to us. Poses the question to Christians at large, how are we to live in these dark days? What do we do? More specifically, let me drill in a little closer. More specifically, how are you and I to interact with non-Christians, those that walk in darkness? How do we relate to them? I mean, obviously, you cannot expect non-Christians, people that are living in just such gross darkness. You can't expect them just to stop what they're doing just because you're around them. Sometimes, and we'll get into this, there's a restraint that's put upon them, but sin is abounding. You're the odd one in today's culture. So we don't expect them just to change because you show up. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that we just give up, that we run and we hide. We go off into the mountains or we find some commune somewhere. We become a cult. That's not for us at all. We're not supposed to check out. This is our generation. And we're to live in it, meaning we're to walk in it with the power and the glory of our great Savior upon us and with us. So brothers and sisters, I want you to think again today, wherever you are, you young people, you singles, you that are older in the faith, what is to be your relationship with the unbelieving world around you? Now, Paul hits this head on here in this Ephesians letter to these dear Christians here, the ones he had spent a lot of time with, knew them. And particularly in verses 8 and 11, or 8 through 11, he gets into these specific. How do we relate to those in darkness? Paul speaks of it clearly, pointedly. And you'll see, or I'll try to just, as I touch on it, he moves in three major categories. He's going to take us from what we were before. That's first. What were we? What are we now? It's different. This is what we were. This is what we are now. Therefore, how do we relate to unbelievers? What a question. What a reality. All of us are living this, dear ones. All of us. Nobody that's a Christian in this room or in that hallway, nobody escapes from this. This is the Word of God. This is the commands of God to His people. So first, what we were before. And second will be what we are now. And I'll move a little bit more quickly on these two categories so then we can focus on how shall we then live. What were we before? Go back to verse 8, the first part. For you were sometimes, or it's better translated, you were formerly darkness. We're going to go back just for a moment here. We're going to remember what we were saved out of. Complete darkness. These are four words that describe everything about us before Jesus Christ saved us. You can solidify it into three words. You were darkness. That's the mandate or the statement for all mankind, any country, any peoples, anywhere at any time. You were darkness. No Christian should ever forget what they were delivered from. Darkness. Total darkness, utter darkness. Now notice, beloved, look at the language. You can look it up. You want to go back to the Greek. It says we were not in darkness as though we accidentally got in it. We drifted in it. You could drift into this room where they turn all the lights out, but you can find your way out and move out, and you're not in darkness. That's not the language. Paul says you were darkness. Charles Spurgeon was darkness. Fanny Crosby was darkness. The Apostle Paul was darkness. Dr. Joel Beakey was darkness before. Y'all with me? We can't get to the admonition or the commands in verse 11 if we don't remember where we were. We were darkness, total darkness. Incredible, sweeping statement. If there were doctors and social scientists here today, people who were trying to deal with men's problems, I would say, just sit and listen to the Word of God. They're in darkness. There are darkness. They're darkness. People, us, that's where we were. Our very nature, the way we thought, the way we planned, the way we talked, what we did. Darkness, sin. Sin was our guide, our rule, our master. That's all we knew. Dead in trespasses and sins. Totally enslaved, totally blinded. Don't you remember? Don't you see this in our fellow man? It's grievous, it's unbelievable, but yet there went I by the grace of God, right? There I was. We got to be careful. We got to be careful how we view our fellow man. Darkness, saints, that's what you were. Paul says to him, you were darkness. You were. All that you were about. Think about it. All that you were about. People that are today that are still in they're just living, they're all their whole life, their whole inner man, everything, their essence is darkness. They produce things that are just dark. So he starts here. You were darkness. We could go on and on and on of this. I had this thought about the music written by so-called musicians, artists, and what they produce is darkness. It comes out from darkness, right? They don't have words of life. The only songs in the earth today that have light to them are the gospel songs of Jesus Christ. Yeah, there's happy songs. I get it. There's children's songs that are somewhat fun. I get it. But I'm talking about songs for humanity. Those that speak of the redeeming love of Jesus Christ and life in Him. That's song. That's music for the ears and the heart. So remember, dear friends, darkness. You and I, all of us here, by the grace of God, are different. But we were darkness. We were haters of God. We loved ourselves. We loved the wicked lifestyle, full of pride, vain in our imaginations, running after evil, speaking or spewing vicious words, sentences, stuff that was horrible, addicted to fleshly lust, and ignorant about the wrath of God against sin. And I could go on and on. I could fill up two or three more pages on Romans chapter 1. Just the sin, the spiral, the evil that comes out of mankind and came out of you and I. You were darkness. Oh, not a very glowing picture, is it? Sometimes when you talk to people, they have this feigned view, this so-called view that men are generally good. We take them to passages like Romans 1, don't we? Just remember Ephesians 5. Just remember this verse 8, ye were darkness, when you have a conversation with somebody. We saw this picture in more specifics there in verses 3, 4, and 5, and I'm going to come back to some of this. Yes, dear Christian, that's what you and I were before the Lord Jesus Christ miraculously, fully, gloriously saved us. Darkness. But then what happened? What happened? What's the transformation? I've told y'all before, years ago, I used to take cab rides. Yeah, before Ubers, anything like that, really. And I would say to the cab drivers, what is a Christian? And I've mentioned this, and I just mention it for emphasis again. And they would look in the rearview mirror. Did he just ask that question? Yes, I asked that question. And they would give an answer. And I would lean over it, and I would say, actually, a Christian is a miracle. They've gone from death to life, from darkness to light. They've been made new. Man, you talk about the views in the rearview mirror at that point. It's a miracle. The language of the New Testament, it's a miracle. You were darkness. But now, what does he say? But now are ye light in the Lord. Go to the second part right there in verse 8. This is what you were. This is what you are now. None of the reason I don't believe Romans 7 is about a wretched man is because how do you call light wretched? We'll talk about that later if you want to. I think it's just full of this contrast, this glorious contrast of dark to light. The Christian has been made miraculous. I'm not talking they're perfect. They have a perfect Savior. They've been given His perfect righteousness. Everything that He did has been put to our account. How could they be wretched? They've been made new. He says, you are now, but now are you light in the Lord. A total transformation. The cab drivers, the friends that you know, family members, they need to hear the language of miraculous change. That is what salvation is. It's dead men coming up to live in Christ. Ye are light. You have been made light. Man, what a statement. Total change. What is this thing of light? What is this light? We could chase this for a while. But this is this whole contrast. If before we were darkness, that means our deeds, everything that we were about was dark. Now we've been brought into a whole new kingdom, a new language, a new living, a new thoughts, new things that we're about. And it's called light. In this context, it's light. It's this transformation. So it's not just a lifestyle a change. Better decisions, a new group that I'm a part of. If you're here just to be a part of a group, hey, if you're in Jesus Christ, walk and run with us. But we're not just a group hanging out to do common things. We serve a great master, King Jesus. He's the King of the light. He is the light. He's the light of the world. And so He has brought us into the kingdom of light. We're not in darkness. Follow me. Paul's going somewhere with this. How do we relate to people that are dark in darkness and live in darkness and are dark in all of their being? We tell them about light. We live in the light. So it's not just a small change, joining a group, signing up, ordered a few Christian books. I read the Bible once a week. It's not. It's living and breathing and walking with Jesus Christ. You've been translated into the kingdom of the Savior, the great King. All that He is light. In Him is no darkness at all. It speaks of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. No darkness. Nothing dark about the Lord Jesus Christ. Every page, every word, every miracle, everything He taught, every parable, blazing with light. I just happened to be spreading all and trying to finish all my notes today and do things. And all of a sudden, through one of our dormer windows, here comes that sun. Usually Lee gets it on Saturday mornings when we have our elders meeting. And here it comes. And I'm in there, and it's like God said, yes, you're now in the kingdom of light. It was just incredible. I'm trying to study it, and then He says, boom, here comes the light. It's awesome. So powerful in its picture to me and to my heart. We've been brought into this kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just look at the references at times about speaking of Him as light, His face, His majesty, His teachings full of light. So we now are light. Do you think of yourself that way? Again, I could stay on this thing. I'm just trying to lay the foundation here. You were darkness, now you're light. William Hendrickson said it this way. You are light transmitters. Light transmitters. Now, I'm not really into little cool phrases, right, Jeff? I'm not. But I like that phrase. You are light transmitters. You are putting out light. And that is the thrust of where Paul is building his command or his admonition on. You're light. There's gross darkness, I understand. We have the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have His light. He's in us. His message is upon us and with us. We have His word. Everything about this is light. This is the story of the ages. This is the truth for today. So we've been brought now into the kingdom of light. New in the inner man. New heart. A new nature. John chapter 8 verse 12. Then spake Jesus unto them and He said, I am the light of the world. There He said it. That's not all He said. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Who are we walking after today? Children, who are you going to walk after? That world out there says everything out there is dark, evil. It will devour you. But Jesus says, I am light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You hear that? This is the kingdom that we're in. This is who we are in Jesus Christ. Let's go back again. The Lord Jesus Christ, Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. That great passage where He's speaking of in this symbolic language, metaphorical language, you are light. He speaks about putting a light, that there's a city on a hill, or putting a light, a grand light on a stand, and boom, it lights everything up. Jesus is the light, and when He's in us, we have light. Y'all with me? We don't have to shrink back, as I've said, week after week, month after month. A lot of the theme of my preaching since the armor of God that we were doing at the beginning of the COVID months are about advancing. We have a great King. All the nations are His. All the peoples are His. All the governments are His. All the rock groups and all the other wretched stuff of our day, they're all under His rule. And He loves to save and bring people into His marvelous light. The Apostle Paul, in his exhortation to the Philippian Christians, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Wow. Shining as lights, light transmitters, putting out light, the glory of Jesus, the message of Jesus, followers of Jesus, the warnings of Jesus. Oh, beloved, we were darkness, but now we're light. Jesus Christ is the light in us, and His light should be shining. I might say this blazing. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I can just hear Paul Washer go off on that. Little light? I'm not real thrilled about the theology of that song. This glorious light. When Keith Green played that piano and sang, he didn't talk about a little bitty light. And this teenager was driving around my truck, and I said, this guy has got something going in him. I mean, I was like, whoa. And when I heard Paul Washer in 97 on tape, that guy's, he doesn't have a little light in him. He's got something big in him. Something is overflowing in that guy. It's the power of God. It's the glory of God with him. You can't work those things up. You can't take yourself from darkness to light. It's a miraculous change. And because of it, He lives in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have His light. We need to walk that way. We need to love people with that kind of light. We need to speak people and warn people. So we are light transmitters. So that brings us swiftly, I'm moving quickly, verse 11. What do we do? How do we live? Yes, Schaefer, how thou then shall we live? What is our day, our calling to the Ephesians, to the saints through the centuries, to us today? How do we relate to unbelievers? Verse 11. This is the main thrust of the whole sermon today. And or but have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose or reprove them. Dark to light. And now he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now it's noted, beloved, and this is going to be the core of what I want to cover. There are two aspects to Paul's command here. Two aspects. There's a negative and there's a positive. Really slow down, dear brothers and sisters. Let it sink in today. Men in your work, sisters in all that you're about, you single guys, let this sink in deeply. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works, but rather expose or reprove them. So first, the negative aspect. This unfruitful works, the NASB and the even the ESV, they speak in a language, have no fellowship, right? The dark ways of men. It says don't participate. Actually, in verse 7, it said don't be partakers. And I believe it's the ESV that says don't be partners. Now this gets down to right with who we are around, who we're with. We're not talking about just general mankind. You're driving through town or you walk through a park. Or a civic space. We're talking about the people in your circles, particularly. Stay with me here. The people's in your sphere. Zeke, you've got a certain sphere you're walking in. And a lot of times we get notes about that sphere. And not everybody's patting you on the back saying, I think it's great that you love Jesus Christ. What does he think about my sin? I had never ever had anybody ask me that. But that's where we live it. Oftentimes they feel conviction because you live differently. You speak differently. The negative. We're not to be partners. We're not to participate. Paul is emphatic here, right? When the Lord Jesus would bring people to himself, fundamentally he said, you are no longer to go that way. Follow me. Yes. What is a Christian? Mr. Cab Driver, he's been made new. He's born again. It's a miracle. And they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they do. And he says here, Paul, that is, we don't interact. Meaning we don't participate. We just don't join in the works of darkness. This thing of evil. I mean, you can't avoid being with people, right? You can't. That's the way it is. That's the purpose of Christ in us. We're to be true and faithful to our generation. But he's talking about you join in whatever the game is they're playing. That's a very loose and kind way of putting it. The evil that they're about, we are not going to be able to avoid being with them or around them. It's just we're not contributors or partners in dark things, evil things. So think about this. Let's just play this out a little bit further. We're to not have any involvement, connection to their gross wickedness. This is going to perhaps even in couples and people today, you single guys, it's going to create some new conversation. I want you to think about how and where you are week by week. What circles, what is your sphere that you're in? And how does this scripture speak to you? Have you been too quiet? Have you been staying away? We can't. I'm not telling you to participate. God's word is absolutely emphatic. It's clear. But you are to be there and speak and live certain things before them. Let me stay with the negative here. No involvement in their wickedness. None. That's why I don't like their songs. I don't like their shirts. I don't like their lingo, right? I don't want to be in on that. I don't want to participate in it. As I've gotten older, I see more and more of being more and more people saying, wow, he just marches to a different beat. Do you feel that? Welcome aboard, being a Christian. Glory to Christ for saving you. Who wants to go with the flow, right? I don't. As A.W. Pink said, the wind is in our face. We can't just jump in to be a jolly old friend because it's all dark. None of their wickedness. Part of the reason Christianity in America or in the West has been looked at with so disdain is because hundreds of thousands of people are doing just this and say they're Christians. They're living in gross darkness. They walk in it. They love it. They listen to it. They buy it. They sell it. They do evil things day in and day out. And then they say, I love Jesus. Hardly. Read the scriptures. Jesus says, go and sin no more and follow me. Ye shall be holy. Be ye therefore holy, as he said. A wise man builds his house upon the rock. He doesn't build his house upon the sand and the garbage of the world. Paul is saying, based upon the power and glory of our Savior, have no fellowship, partake zero in works of darkness. I'm going to get into this a little bit more detail, but people that live in darkness and say they're Christians, it's a lie, and it dishonors, it misrepresents Jesus Christ and His kingdom. God help us. If you're called a holy guy or a holy woman or somebody that loves the Scriptures, take it as an honor. I'm not talking about pride. If somebody says they just always think about Bible things or how they make decisions, yes. And you would say to them, how much more I would want to be about a pure conscience and a pure heart and a Bible-centered joy in thinking and living. People around us are dark, and they want you to participate in darkness. Zeke says that in his own way when he posts things about business trips. Been there, done that, hundreds of them through the years. Men say, come on into darkness. Why don't you be cool? Because I serve a great Savior. And He's purchased me. I'm His. So I don't participate. It's not arrogance. It's just you're set apart. You're going to be with them. You're going to be around them. But the true Christian who has the light of Jesus Christ never is careless. And I'm not saying we don't get snagged or things come at you and you realize I got to get away from all this. But I'm just saying that those that are devoted to Jesus Christ are not careless. Not careless. You know what it means to be careless, right? You go to the Grand Canyon like we did years ago and you rent bikes and they'll say to you, be really careful. Some of those bends in the trail come pretty close to the rim. Can't be careless there. A carelessness at the Grand Canyon will cost you your life. Philip in the front, or Chris in the back, I've forgotten, and Jesse and Michaela in between us. And I mean, we were rolling together. There's the curve. You can't be careless. This world is so full of darkness everywhere, and people that want you to come join in, they say, ride the trail with us. Get close to the edge. Jump over. God help us. God help you. A picture from the medical science field. There are chemicals and there are experiments and research that are being done all the time. Medical professionals doing lab work. No telling over this last year and a half how much lab work in the world has been done. Staggering, right? And I can guarantee you in most labs across the world, they are not careless. You get the picture? When they're working and looking at things, microscopic things. I said to Chris recently, how does microscopic things really bother us? I mean, we can't see it. You have to have all this heightened ability to even see it. It'll hurt you. The things that in our culture, you can see them. You know they're there. But these medical professionals, when they're doing their research and they're doing their experiments or they're testing whatever, they realize that one mistake could cost them their life. Brothers and sisters, being careless about what Paul's talking about around darkness can cost you severely. Stumble you, wreck your life, wreck your marriage, wreck your reputation, ruin your walk with your great Savior. It's not small stuff. Don't participate. Don't join in. You're not partners. We can't be careless. Generally speaking, the temptations are coming nonstop. And you have to learn to turn away and walk in grace, the power of the Holy Spirit. So the obvious question is, and I'll try to keep moving here. The obvious question is, Paul, what are these things of darkness? What are they? Go back to verses 3 and 4. I'm going in reverse now. If Paul has told us we were darkness, and now we're light, and we don't go on in any more fellowship with darkness. Paul, what were those again? There's six things that Paul mentions here in verses 3 and 4. If you carry it over to verse 5, it even expands on those. But particularly six things that I want to touch on. Saints, hear these again. These are mines that will blow you up. These are things that will ruin you. These are trails, bends in the trail that you could go off the edge and get really hurt or killed. Paul says immorality. He says in the King James, fornication. I think the ESV says sexual immorality. He starts by saying to the Ephesian Christians, anything of sexual perversion and wickedness and defilement in total, all of it, avoid it. You don't go there. He says, not to be named among you, right? Not even once, it says in the King James. These things should not mark people that are in Jesus Christ. They're in the light. Nothing that's unclean. Perversions everywhere. I don't need to add to this. You fill in the blank. You know these things. I have to be careful even to mention these. Who even wants to talk about this stuff? Ungodly stuff that's out there, relationally that's out there, that's on the internet and all other sources of stuff that will wreck your life. No fellowship, no partnership with that garbage, saints. None. Number two, impurity, or King James says uncleanness. These first three are about lifestyle, who you are, what you're walking in, and what you're walking away from. The next three are about language, what we talk about, what we listen to, what we participate in. The first three are about your life. Impurity or uncleanness. This is for brother and sister. It's for all of you. It's for all of us. Ungodly actions, ungodly words, ungodly thoughts, and ungodly passions. Uncleanness, it's everywhere. The music, the beat, the spirit, the arts, the dress, the fashion, it's everywhere, beloved. Unclean, in your face unclean, impure, wickedness. Be careful, saints. Be careful. God help you to walk without being connected to that. It's all asking you in. Come and buy. Come and enjoy our things. We're followers of the Lamb. Number three, greed. Again, these are areas of our lifestyle. Brothers that do business, corporate America and things like that, your business, whatever trade that you're in, let these sink in. Covetousness or greed. Man, is that not everywhere? We've got all these impure things in our culture and in the arts and how people relate. And greed, this thing of people going after things, selfish ambitions. Man, corporate America has a great corner on the market on covetousness and greed. I can guarantee you they'll lay out for you perfect strategies to increase your greediness. They got it. They don't use that word. They don't like it when Philip speaks about these kinds of things. That's what the Word of God calls that. More. I got to have more. This is of covetousness, ambitions. It actually means to step over. You kind of look at the way the Greek word is, to actually move around somebody. I'm going to get what you've got. I'm going to get it. I'm going to come get it from your place. That's what it's talking about. This is darkness. This is what's being offered to us. Have you ever had somebody try to promote a business deal and they kind of almost wink at you? This could happen this way if you do it this way. Incredible. It's the air men breathe. It's the game they play. It's the businesses they build. It's the accounts that they pad. It's the cheating that they do. It's the promises that they make. You hear me? Corporate America would say, shut that guy down. I'm just warning the dear people of Jesus Christ. Be careful. Be careful. Paul says greed, covetousness. First century Ephesus? There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. The next three. Jeff said it today. It's a talk society. Where is Brother Jeff? Lost him. Over here. There he is. I was listening to you. He said, talk, 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 talk. Look at the next three. Talk. Filthiness. Now, Paul's connecting in verse 4. He's going into the language of people. What are the words they speak? Our words need to have life, seasoned with grace, helpful, to listen, people that would want to listen. I don't care if we're talking about the little precious ones down here, if we're talking to somebody on our street, if we're talking to the FedEx guy dropping off packages. Words that are good, not filthy. Filthiness. I think all the translations pretty much use filthy. What do y'all think of with filthiness? Right? Just stained, just horrible. Any talk that's obscene or vile. What's the theme here, saints? Don't be partakers. Garbage, filthiness. We're not participants in that. We walk in light. We're in the light. We have words that are full of light and help to others. Fifth, foolish talking. Again, Jeff did a nice job today just touching on this briefly. The words of men, the words of people, the words of others. Foolish talking. Yes, Brother Lee, stupid talk. Stupid talk. Like the drunkard. Like Paul David Tripp said when his mom said, never ever think that what the drunk said was new. It's already in him. Profound. It's a profound truth. But according to the Scriptures, according to the Lord Jesus, whatever men say is already in them anyway, because out of the heart proceeds things. Foolish talking, stupid talk, trash talk with athletes. It becomes a part of their sport. Just pause. Think about that. Really. Then why don't pianists, great pianists, and gymnasts start doing trash talk? Yeah, we chuckle. I'm a swimmer. I'm going to start doing trash talk. It shows you how absurd it is. Right? A chess player. I'm going to do trash talk. Trash talk. Foolish talking. We kind of chuckle, but we realize it's everywhere. These are the things to stay away from. Stay away from it. And lastly, jesting. Jesting, or as the ESV says, crude joking. And I think Jeff touched on this. Turning something. It actually means that you move a topic. I mean, businessmen do this. I hope nobody's been is so naive. They think today I said some things, they're not going, you got to be kidding me. Trust me. Business people, executive people, brother, no, you know a few things about it. Executive people, they'll turn this topic and they'll turn it into something really crude and vile. Jesting. You get the point. Not among the redeemed. God help us. God help us. So this is the negative. This is the main theme, that we have no fellowship. We're not partners. We're not contributors. We don't jump in the middle of their works of darkness. We don't. But then let's see the last part as we wrap up. The second is positive. It may feel negative because it uses this language about reproving or exposing, but it's really the positive. This is gospel labor towards lost, hopeless men. That's what this really is about. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came to seek and save lost people, and that's who you're around. Paul says, but rather expose them. And I want us to be careful here. It's not enough to abstain or just to stay away from participating in men's evil, in dark things. Men that are on business trip, you ladies that are with others, family members that want to draw you into something. It's not just enough to abstain, right? To be passive or to pull back. That's right. It honors the Lord. It's the way you should walk. You should walk in carefulness, and you should walk in holiness, possessing yourself in honor. But here, Paul goes one step further, but rather expose them. through the years I've grappled with this, I've studied through and preached through Ephesians, I've gone back over and over again to try to see different thoughts. What does this mean? It means that you're to have an impact on them. You actually deal with dark things with people. Now, there's different ways this happens. This word in the Greek, which we translate it to reprove, is better exposing. It's causing it to be seen. It can be easily misunderstood. You and I might misapply this. And so what do I mean by that? It doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, that you get to be everybody's critic. You don't go today at 2 o'clock to Target, stand by the door or the checkout area, and stay there till 6 o'clock telling everybody what they've done and said is wrong. Hey, teenager, you're a punk. You need to shut up. Hey, mom, I don't like your language. Hey, sir, I don't like you cursing about the glory of the Lord Jesus in this store. Hey, manager, you got a lousy attitude with your people. No. I use that just to get your attention. That's not what Paul's talking about here. We don't need you and I to go be a traffic cop with everybody. It's not our place. We're back into this area of the sphere of who we're with. I understand that tomorrow and Tuesday night and Wednesday night, city councils will meet and they will approve and do wicked things. It's not your job to walk in and tell them they're all wrong. You get my point? To reprove or to expose deals with relationships that are very tangible in your life. This is why it gets tough at times. It's hard. You've got to have the right spirit. You've got to have the right passion, compassion, I mean, for these people. Because they do say and do the most bizarre and sicko things. I get it. If I told you some of the questions I've been asked through the years of homeschooling or whatever it might be in life, unbelievable how men twist things. Avoid what they ask. It's not that you're the critic, that you get to set everybody straight. That's such a dangerous place. It's kind of back to what Jeff was emphasizing. Talk shows, I'm going to tell everybody how it is. No, Jesus Christ told everybody what truly is, and He speaks. None else should be speaking. So if we're going to say anything, we're going to say it on behalf of Him, because of Him. So if you try to condemn or denounce people, be careful. Because you'll never finish. It'll just go on. But what does it mean? It actually means to convince by means of evidence. A little bit like an attorney. To convince by means of evidence. You're proving out. You're bringing to bear in a situation with an individual, things that are dark. You're bringing to bear truth to expose what that is. Hey, so-and-so, why don't you just shack up and live with somebody? It's wrong. It's biblically wrong. You can be quiet or you can say something. Somebody might ask you. I've had people ask me to do their wedding ceremonies. And they're looking at me thinking, would he really do this? They know what I know about their lifestyle. And they're asking me that. What do I say? I didn't hear the question. I have to say something to them. It's real, saints. It's hard. It's hard from the standpoint that if you're going to love people, you're going to have to love them where they are and you have to speak truth to them and you have to expose, or in this case, you're going to have to bring to bear this phrase, convince them that it's evil, it's wrong. Dark, light, and now light into darkness. What truth here? You're convicting them, in a sense, you're bringing truth to bear that it shows that this is absolutely wrong. You bring light. We're back to Brother Hendrickson's comment. We're light emitters. A subject comes up. It could be something in just with a family member this week. It could be something in a college class or somebody you're going to class with. It could be somebody that you work with. It could be a phone call. And you say and bring truth to bear to convince that this is wrong and what is right. Y'all staying with me here? There's no one formula for it. The light of the gospel and the grace of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that's what we speak from. We speak from the Scriptures. Thus saith the Lord. So it's convincing others. Brothers, sisters, these moments, these encounters come. They're going to come today probably. And how you deal with unbelievers and how you talk to them and what they pick up from your heart. You bring gospel truth to bear. You bring gospel truth to bear on their sin. None of you probably here remember the story, but I'll reference it. When we were meeting this senior center years ago, and at the end of the time, of course, we would have at various times the homeless people come and join us, right? And we wanted them to in the right way. We wanted them to be there under the sound of the gospel. We wanted to speak to them. And one of those times, if those of you remember, one of the young ladies or ladies that were there, and she was living with a guy and all that, immediately when I sat down after the service was over, she turned to me and said, "This is the problem. This is what's going on. He's been abusive with me, da-da-da-da-da. Living in sin, it's just horrible." And I'm just listening. And she said, "What do I need to do?" "What do you say to her?" I said, "What would Jesus tell you to do?" It's exactly what I said. "But if I leave him..." She knew. She connected the dots. "What would Jesus Christ tell you to do? What did he tell people to do?" You see the point, beloved? The light of the gospel. God says this. Jesus said this. Men need to hear these truths. They need to see it in your life, and they need to hear it in your answers. What you express, what you hold precious, what you stay away from. It's one thing to stay away from the corporate outings. It's another for somebody to come up to you and say, "Why do you stay away from that? What are you reading back in your hotel room? What's different? Why do you have such a high view of being a parent, or a high view of loving others or marriage or whatever it is, a proper view of handling money? What's different?" It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring in those encounters. That was the last time any of us ever saw her that I know of. She stayed. I think she had lunch. I don't know what happened. For all we know, she's worshiping. Oh, God, make it so she's worshiping him today. You don't know. But we have to be faithful. We have to show them their heart problem. Men, we have to have courageous to say to other men, you could say, hey, Jack, that's going to wreck your life. You chase riches, that's going to wreck your life. Hey, Bill, you go to that club tonight after the meeting. You go to that club tonight, that's going to wreck your life. Don't do it, Bill, don't do it. Go back to the hotel, read that Gideon Bible, and go to bed. That's a good answer. More of those in corporate America. But the heart problem, go to the heart. They're in darkness, and they need to hear truth shining into it. You have the truth. Paul says it. Expose it. Bring it out. Speak the truth. And then, ultimately, as you and I speak to these that are in darkness, speak the gospel of Jesus. Bring gospel truth to bear. Speak personally. Being rescued, the grace of God in your life, the active, experiential grace in your life. Speak it. Men are perishing. I've told stories about, through the years, some of the hardest men I've ever worked around. I mean, hard charging, and a couple of them finally came, closed my door, and burst into tears. Think of two of them. One of them's dead, and I don't know what's happened to the other one. But they finally came to the end. What do I say to them? "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Again, I'm sorry if I'm hurting your feelings about that song. We're talking about a glorious Savior, the King of the world, the Messiah who reigns. They don't need a little dinky light. As Piper would say, they need to hear about a great God with a great salvation, with a great message. They need to be blown away. They don't need to cry to me, they need to cry to Him. That's what they need. So when we speak to them, and when you stay away from dark and you bring them to light, speak of the light to them. They need it. Take them to the four Gospels. That's what Jesus, everything I'm saying is in the four Gospels. This is the Lord Jesus. When He apprehends sinners, He goes for them. He doesn't back down. He speaks to them. He didn't stand on the street corner and correct every single individual and every single thing. He preached to the masses, and He spoke to them individually. He called them to repent. He called them to come to Him. He showed them their vanity. He spoke to the Pharisees. He spoke to the harlots. He spoke to the money men. But He was always going for the heart. We're not trying to get people to just take on our lifestyle. Let me clarify this. I'm not trying to people to just get to be homeschoolers or dress this way or comb their hair this way or buy these books only. That's not what I'm trying to do. Hopefully you're not either. Be careful. There's a lot of that all over America. We're trying to get them to come to a wonderful, glorious, reigning Savior who makes all things new. His kingdom is forever, and His kingdom is alive. And it's full of the greatest songs and the greatest fellowship and the greatest fun. If you want to use that word, joy, peaceful things, things that bring such delight. I get to celebrate two of my daughter's birthdays later today, God willing. Is that not something to have joy in the Lord over? Yes, everything, eating and drinking to the glory of God. People need to see us live and talk that way. Jesus Christ, He is life. He is. So, beloved, when we interact in these divine appointments, in your work times and in your fellowship times with others, in your family times, have a redemptive view towards it. Be ready. Be ready to give an answer. Be ready to speak from dark to light. Bring light. Blow them away. They'll be offended. I get it. Oh yeah, I get that. But we're not worried about if they're offended. Our compassion is they're lost, perishing. They're going to die. And they're going to be damned forever. So beloved, stay away from the dark and shine the light of the gospel to them. Let me close. God has ordained that you and I and every Christian in every age impact their generation. Right? Lights shining in darkness. All of us. It's not a point of a certain age, or I have to have read this much, or memorized it. Every Christian is to be impacting the darkness around them. Oh God, help us. You are a transmitter of the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got the greatest thing to give them. You don't need a laboratory. You don't need to do any experiments. You don't need to test anything. You got it. He's in you. He's with us. What a Savior. What a gospel. So shine the light. Emit it, declare it, live it, that men would see. Lord, have mercy. Let me pray. Said Savior, thank you, Lord, that you came to rescue us, that to be rescued in your redeeming love is to be brought into the kingdom of your light, the kingdom of everything. That's full of light, truth, purity, holiness. Lord, help us to remember, yes, remember what we were delivered from, rescued from, and what we've been brought into, but to not hold back, Lord, help us. Give us the right courage, the right for fellow men. And Lord, let us be used for your name's sake. Don't be partakers of their evil. We want to expose it. We want to bring your truth to bear. Help us, Lord. Save sinners, Lord. Let us go forth with your power and your presence. Thank you, Lord. Amen.